Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, it's Ellie Gibson here. Now, the episode of Scummy Mummies you're about to hear was recorded back in October when I was pregnant. But as you'll know, if you listened to our most recent episode, I've actually had the baby since then. So the episodes are a bit out of order. Sorry about that, but there we are. And thank you again for all your kind messages. Just to let you know, Joey's doing really, really well. And we're hoping to bring him home from the hospital, maybe even next week. So it's very exciting. Anyway, hope you enjoy the episode.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
And it's me, Clemmy Hooper.
And joining us today is Ellie's baby at 23 weeks.
Something like that.
Yes, we have a fourth member.
That's right, that sound you can just about hear is my unborn child's heartbeat. That's right, I'm exploiting it in the name of comedy. That's what's happening. Can I sit up now? I'm slightly uncomfortable. So here we are. We've sort of got 3.5 people on the podcast today, haven't we, Helen?
We have. It's like the Beatles' fifth member.
Yeah.
It's like, are you going to call it Yoko?
Definitely.
Excellent. So welcome to the midwife special. Welcome, Clemmy Hooper.
I'm back.
Hooray.
She's back. Yes. Now, some of you might remember from a previous episode, midwife crisis. Why not come back? Especially now. It's prescient, isn't it?
Yeah. We're basically prescient. Using you for Ellie's benefit.
Basically, I just want an extra antenatal appointment. So I thought I'd invite you round my house.
Not that we're overworked at all.
No, exactly.
Loads of time.
So welcome back, Clemmy. You are a midwife. You're a mother of two. You're a super blogger of the wonderful gasandairblog.com. And we're going to talk today, about babies and Fanny. So,
yes.
Woo.
That's right. I've decided basically we're going to be saying lots of words that mean ladies' front bottoms. Yes. And this will probably be the last time in the podcast we use the phrase ladies' front bottoms. We're just going to go for it. And really, I can't be bothered to bleep out all the obscene terms. So this is maybe not one of those episodes you want to listen to with the kiddies in the back of the car. Just as a suggestion.
There's going to be lots of words that rhyme with shunt. And
scunt,
nanny,
yes,
duff,
binge,
yeah, magina,
mat,
yes.
Anything else?
I just can't, because I just want to say the word.
We'll get there soon, Clemmy. We'll get there.
So consider that your warning, really. Right. This is going to be explicit content.
Yes, thanks for downloading, and goodbye.
Yes.
So that's where we're journeying down the ladies.
We're canoeing down the vaginal canal.
Exactly.
To quote a line from our own stage show.
Yes,
did I actually get that line right there? Because usually I get it wrong in the show, and I totally ruined the punchlines of the whole sketch.
So we're doing a great big journey down the labial river.
The Twatterson River, if you will.
That's right.
Clemmy's already closing her eyes and shaking her head.
She's got sick in her mouth.
Yeah.
I know.
So just remind us, Clemmy, what's your blog all about?
Well, it's a blog about midwifery, which sounds quite straightforward, but I just blog about all the things midwifery related, which amazingly fills up all my spare time because there's always something to talk about. And every week, every Monday, I publish a birth story of the week, which Helen has featured on her vagina twice now. Two birth stories, haven't I?
That's yes. So yes, I have coughed up a birth story for you.
That's right. Helen Thorne's twat is famous, ladies and gentlemen.
Indeed.
Yeah. People send me their birth stories and they go up every Monday and they seem to generate the most hits I get, actually.
Oh, yeah. Did Helen's get a lot of hits?
It got loads!
Hooray!
And it got the most lols.
And it's great. I really love reading a birth story because you do get such a lovely... Mm. Well, it's not always lovely, but there's a lovely end most of the time with a baby in somebody's arms, so it's nice. Even if they do have to be ripped to shreds and sewn back together again.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a nice image, isn't it?
It's a Hallmark card, I believe. So now, speaking of coming back to the podcast, Ellie is coming back for more. She's having more babies, Clemmie.
Well, just the one. Just
sorry, she's having another baby. She's having one more. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. So this is going to be my second baby. It's due in February, and... Well, what can I say? I'm shitting it. No, I'm...
Woo! We love a poo.
I will be. I've talked about my birth of my first son, Charlie, on the podcast a bit before. It was a bit traumatic. It was back-to-back and it was very painful, but it was quick. It was at least 12 hours. So, Clemmie, based on that, what's this birth going to be like? Let's extrapolate.
Well... I think it's always really important to remember that your second birth will be nothing like your first birth.
Useful, yeah, good, yeah.
Half the time, and again, maybe. You know, muscle memory is really important to remember. Your body knows what to do because it's done it before.
My body's drunk a lot of wine since then, though.
Still remembers. Your vagina still remembers and your cervix. Lots of people
the things
say...
my cervix has seen. I can't believe it.
You know, I think possibly people feel more scared second time around because they're like, oh, I've done that and it was horrific if you had a horrific birth. But I still think you still need to really prepare for birth again. You can't just wing it. You really got to, educate yourself. I read an amazing stat the other day, which I'm blogging about in the next couple of weeks, that women spend approximately a year and a half planning their wedding. And when it comes to their birth, a couple of hours maybe, reading a couple of books and then just writing a birth plan. And that's bonkers. I just can't believe people would spend a year. And think how much you spend on your wedding. Not that you need to spend a lot of money on preparing for your birth, but all the reading, all the magazines you buy. And for birth, just a couple of hours. It's scary, really.
Oh, I've spent at least 3 weeks looking at what dress I'm going to wear during my birth. I mean, it's going to be
what
amazing.
What are you going for?
Oh, you backless. Know, just, yeah, some crotchless.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah. White
practical
lace.
Reasons. Yeah.
Definitely white.
Do you remember
colour. The
Like a Virgin video?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Nice.
I was thinking more Cher, you know, like turn back time. Just a couple of black bits of tape.
Oh, that's right. And then the baby could pop out of the giant cannon she rides.
Exactly.
That would
I know,
be
and then
nice.
You could have some sailors in some white hats just doing a dance.
Yeah. I'm coming to your birth.
Oh, yeah. Everybody is, by the sounds of it. But what? So where should I go for resources? So like you say, you should research your birth and stuff. But Google it, Wikipedia.
Yeah, I mean,
ask people on Facebook.
Read a blog. Don't only hear positive birth stories. I know we've talked a little bit about this last time when I was here. Don't engage in any negative birth stories because it's just not helpful. If someone wants to tell you a really negative birth story, just really politely decline and say, I'm all right, actually. Definitely start reading again. If something went wrong or didn't go to plan in your first birth, start exploring that. Think about why that possibly happened. What can you do to avoid that this time? Work with your midwife. You've got a lovely name midwife, haven't you, Ellie? So work with her. Possibly get your notes. Might be a good idea to get your previous birth notes. You could go through them. Look at the sort of, oh, that happened because of that. Okay, how could we maybe like avoid another back-to-back labour? Mm-hmm. So, you know, really, you've got to work hard to educate yourself because then you'll be fully informed of the choices that you're making. You won't feel like you failed or it didn't go to plan because you weren't aware of what was going on.
Mm. Good tips.
Very good. And I always like the term VBAC. It does sound like a tertiary qualification. I'm doing the VBAC.
Oh, when you've had a vaginal birth.
VBAC!
Yeah, that is good. That's if you've had a cesarean, so that's a vaginal birth after cesarean. Did you have a cesarean?
No, I had no. I had a von Tues. A VB. Is that
a von Tues?
What's the acronym for von Tues? Yeah.
Oh, a von
with a little snip.
And with an episiotomy.
Yeah, a little snip, that's what I said.
Sounds like a car.
So you've got to
play.
Do the perineal massage, Ellie. Not yet. Don't do it through your...
We're not doing it now. Ooh. We're doing a podcast.
Everyone's aroused now. Listen to it. All right.
From 37 weeks, bit 37. Of almond oil.
Okay, yeah.
Almond oil.
Almond oil's a good one.
If you haven't got any, can you use Mazola?
Or
Trex?
Yeah, you could. Or olive oil.
Okay,
Any base oil like that. And maybe after the bath, because you're most soft down there as well, and relax, just put your finger in and just press down gently. I'm showing Ellie right now, like this. Just press down, and you just want to start loosening up the scar tissue where you would have had your stitches before. And you're much less likely to tear this time or to be cut.
You look like you're crimping the edge of a pie there.
That's exactly what I was doing. Yeah. Yeah. And you'll gradually notice that you can do it a little bit harder each time and it won't hurt so much.
Now, can we talk about siblings? Because I've got one child. Helen, you've got two.
Yes.
How did you prepare, like, the old baby for the new baby, as it were?
Yes. Well, I did an NCT course on the second time round. And one of the best bits of advice they told me was when you have the new baby and then the firstborn child is introduced, don't have the baby on you.
Mm.
So,
put it in a drawer or under a bed.
Yeah, just put a towel on it. sorry, I am listening.
All right, anyway.
Sorry.
That's another game, like, where's the new baby? Where have we hidden the new baby?
I put a moustache on it. So what she was saying is that one of the big things is that they will see, your oldest child will see you with a baby, and that is a barrier between you. You've always had first access to cuddles. So, so what happened was I had my second baby at home, and then I called my mum and said, it's time for you to bring Matilda home. And we put Hugo in a Moses basket, and they knocked on the door, and me and Will went to the door and got Matilda and took Matilda and showed the baby in the basket.
So that was nice.
I'm feeling a bit emotional about it, but it was really lovely.
And she went, what is that?
Yeah. Get out of my house.
And how old was she?
She was 2 years, 7 months.
Okay. That's really good advice. I see that a lot, you know, for birth. You know, the grandparents are bringing the sibling either into hospital or at home if it's a home birth. And, you know, the parents have sort of said, oh, let's remember to do that. And I think what's always really important to remember is that, you know, most children, whatever age, they will be interested at looking at the baby because, you know, they're quite interesting. But that is generally it. Yeah. Don't expect them to necessarily want to give them a kiss. They might be a bit frightened, especially when the new baby cries. They might just be like, oh, they come. Sometimes can be a bit weird about the belly button with the because often newborn baby at that point will still have the clamp on.
Yeah, like a little fun size Mars bar. It hangs on. Yeah.
Exactly, hangs on. Like a clothes peg. Yeah. Food related
bloody
things.
Twiglet.
So don't expect. You know, I wouldn't even say, "Oh, go and give your new brother or sister a kiss." I would kind of just be like, "Yeah, there's the baby." And actually, one of the best piece of advice someone gave me was that when the baby's asleep, which babies do a lot in the day in the first, you know, week or two. Say to your firstborn, oh, that baby's really boring, all it does is sleep. How about let's go and do that really fun game we used to normally do? So really downplay.
Let's go down the pub.
Yeah.
Back to Bardo's.
Exactly. Yeah. Just really
context us if it needs us.
Exactly. Yeah. Because then, you know, there's so much expectation. Like, oh, you have to love your new sibling and you're the big brother now. That means fuck all to kids, really, doesn't it? Really, even if your kid, well, I suppose if they were like 7 or 8, they'd be older. But just really, I would just really downplay the new sibling. So I would just, you know, less is more and keep the routine, another of my musts, keep the routine. When people go, oh, we're having a new baby, so we're going to stop the nursery childminder situation.
Right.
You're going to regret that. No.
Okay.
Keep the routine. If they go to nursery, the day you go into labour, they go to nursery. The day you come out of hospital, the day the baby's born, if they're going to nursery that day, they still go.
Hmm.
Now, what about second time round for birthing partners? Because they've obviously experienced a birth before, so they've got their expectations. Pete had some songs he liked to sing. Will he be doing that again, Ellie?
Oh, there will be no singing. There'll be no... No, I think he's... I think he's worried because my last birth was so painful. I think he's worried about watching me go through that again.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm more sort of... I'm not actually that frightened of it. I'm more like, it's happening, so I can't do anything about it. There's no point being... I mean, I'll say this now. In 3 months' time, ring me and ask me. But, like... I feel like I there's not a lot of point in being scared about it, certainly at least at this stage.
Yeah.
Do you think that's right, Clemmy, or do you think I should actually be shitting myself and taking this a bit more seriously?
No, I don't think you should be fearful of birth at all, which I know a lot of listeners are out there be thinking, what? There's a great article that's circulating at the moment that someone wrote for the Huffington Post, and it's all about why women fear birth. And it's not your fault, it's their fault, as in it's society's fault, it's media's fault. And I feel really strongly about this. You know, if you ask women about watching that programme One Born Every Minute, the opening sequence is a woman sort of like pushing in the corridor of a hospital and the voiceover's going, I've got a woman delivering in the corridor. And then it's just like sounds of screaming. Mm. And women remember that. They only remember, you know, women don't remember the beautiful birth on that programme. They go, oh, did you watch the one when all the forceps out? And it's terrible. And I think getting your partner, your birthing partner, in the same frame set as you. So if you're feeling really like positive and ready to embrace this birth, go on YouTube and watch some really lovely births with your partner. Because I think for men, if they see a positive birth, then they can go, oh, yeah, that can happen.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be like blue lights to hospital and, you know, the scary side of it. Your birth, classic, perfect.
Yeah, always very nice. And I watched a lot of births beforehand as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some slightly ridiculous Australian one where a woman had 6 kids surrounded while she played the recorder and her husband played the guitar, and they played music through the contractions, and the kids were like making clay animals. And the woman was going, and the guy was like, hey, the baby's coming.
Oh my god,
wow, that is so me.
All in the bush.
Oh, I can feel a contraction. Oh. Get the ocarina, darling.
Oh my god. So you know, you've got your extremes, really. But yeah, I think you do. You shouldn't have a lighthearted view of birth or whatever, but...
God knows, you should take it very, very seriously all the time, like we always do on this podcast. Everything to do with it.
Just have Helen at your birth.
She'd hit me.
With the triangle.
I'd strangle her with the golden thread.
I'd be going, Ellie, I've got this idea for a joke.
Yeah. Oh, my
goodness. Ellie, can you drive me home now? I'm tired.
We've run out of wine, Ellie. Ellie.
Yeah, that'll go well. I'm like the opposite of a doula.
I think you'd be a great doula. Why do you have to be a hippie to be a doula?
She is a hippie, so that helps.
I've got a little twist, though, because I could be a doula with some jokes. People need to laugh.
I think you'd be a comedy doula. Helen Thorne, comedy doula.
I think you should be a doula.
Now, I don't know if you've seen this photograph that's doing the rounds on the internet at the moment, but it's a photograph of the mum with the baby in the birthing pool, and the water is, as it gets, pretty murky and a sort of rust colour.
Yeah.
And also in the birthing pool is the husband
and
like 4 children ranging from the ages of like 3
to 10. It's a colour of claret. It's a colour of claret.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's
and we try not to judge, don't we, on this show. We try, but it's a strong image, isn't it? It's a strong visual.
Very close. It's a very intimate.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Chloe?
I mean...
Judge.
Do you know what? I would actually quite like to be at a birth where the sibling is awake. I'd like to see what that dynamic is like.
Mm.
For me, as a woman, I don't think I could have laboured with my child in the room. I think I would have found it hard to let go.
But even then, that's one thing. Getting into the pool with all the liquids.
But I mean, just people have different kind of expectations, maybe.
Yes. That's what I explain to the other people when I give birth in the hot tub at Centre Parks. Hey, you've just got a different expectation.
You thought you were here for a hot tub. You're actually at a live birthing show.
It's pretty hot now.
I mean, I wouldn't feel that comfortable with my child and even my husband, because also during birth there might be a bit of... There's always going to be amniotic fluid. bit of show floating around.
Oh, nobody
maybe
likes
a poo.
There's no business like show business.
Hey, that's a good one.
Thanks very much. You can have that. Use that at your next birth.
Can you? I mean, maybe for that family, she's still breastfeeding the other children. You know, we just don't know what.
I think she looked the type, didn't she?
Yeah.
In the picture.
Yeah. Maybe they live in a yurt and they all poo in the same pot.
Do you poo in different pots in your house? This, yes, I thought it was pretty standard.
We went from a really small little house, one loo, four bums, to three loos, four bums.
Oh.
It's the best.
So what about after the baby arrives? Now, when we interviewed another midwife, Caroline Flint, at Camp Bestival, and she was saying after the first 10 days after birth, as a mum, you should basically just stay in bed with the baby, with your top off, you know, and just, you know, eat biscuits, basically.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, it sounds nice. It sounds a little unrealistic to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very much for the resting period of women. I think, you know, you can feel pretty good after birth. You can, especially a second birth. Ellie, I'm focusing this again on you. You can feel a bit high, can't you? A bit like, oh my God, I can do anything. I've just given birth. You know, you've got the adrenaline still going. You've got the endorphins, the hormones are going. You're thinking, yeah, I can do it. But, you know, you do get knackered. Of course you do. It's like everyone could probably stay up all night once, couldn't they? We're all like, yeah, I could do an all-nighter. But it's the, you know, you're up for a lot in the first, especially the first week while you're trying to establish breastfeeding. I think for me, visitors is a really important key topic in this sort of aspect of how long you should stay in bed for. I always say to women, if you're comfortable with visitors coming to see you, great. I'd stay in bed actually when you've got visitors. 10 days is quite a long time. For me, I would have gone a bit stir crazy as a mother, kind of a bit bored in bed. But I certainly took myself to bed every day for that period of time, especially when my husband was on paternity leave. But I think visitors kind of disrupt a lot of the postnatal period. People just overdo it with saying, yeah, come over, I'm really excited to show you the baby. And in this day and age, you've got all social media to show your baby off. I would say if people are coming, 45 minutes, be in bed in your pyjamas. Don't be dressed, because then people expect to kind of go, right, I'll go then. Get them to bring food. Yeah, that's my main thing. Bring food. Or tea, biscuits and milk.
No, actually, I would say what actually worked quite well for us was going to the pub just round the corner, which served decent, cheap food all day. And then you can kind of like,
you can make an exit.
Yeah, you can sort of be in control a bit, because you can, it doesn't matter if you're kind of half an hour late because you're just going, because your friends are in the pub. They don't care. They're in a pub. And if you need to go after 45 minutes, again, people understand that you've had a baby and they're having a nice drink in the pub. They don't mind. And I found it nice to be out of the house. And I do like a pub. And I felt like normal.
Yeah. Get your friends to come round and take your kid out. That's what my best.
What about a timer? Like, just put a little polite egg timer.
I think a 45-minute rule is quite good. If you're feeling really knackered and you've got a friend that's desperate to come over, I think it's fine not to offer them a cup of tea.
Again, that's why I vote for the pub, because people can order whatever drink they like.
And you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah. And someone else will clean away the dirty plates and glasses. In fact, that's what I think I'm going to do. Forget this lying in bed for 10 days with your top off. I'm going to go to Wetherspoons Forest Hill and sit there for 10 days with my top off. And whoever wants to drop in, that's where I'll be. Yeah. Dawn till dusk.
Good friends that come have babies know what to do. A good friend that's had a kid will say, okay, we're coming around at 10 and we're going to come and pick up Charlie, and we're going to take him to the soft play and take him to the park and knacker him out and give him lunch, and we'll bring him back in the afternoon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Afternoon. I tell you another little tip I suggest is if you're bringing flowers, that's lovely, but no, don't just dump the flowers. Go and find a vase, fill it up, sort the flowers out.
Yeah. I think flowers is a no-no.
Chocolate. I don't like chocolate. I'd rather have flowers.
The thing with flowers,
to reiterate about the champagne.
You can put them in a vase for someone, and then they live, and then you've got to change the flower water, and then flowers die, right, as we know.
What?
Exclusive. So then, after 2 weeks, your flowers die, your presents kind of dwindle, your husband goes back to work, and then you're just full of, like, it's like a graveyard of dead flowers.
And then you get that nice, stinky water that you
And then you've got to, like, chuck the flowers out, and then I just think it's a bit like a funeral. I'm always...
Oh, my God.
This is my thing with flowers.
I don't think Clemmie likes flowers.
I love flowers. I love them so much. But so what I did was... And the day my husband went back to work, I went out and spent about 30 quid in Sainsbury's on flowers and just filled my house with flowers again.
Oh, good work.
That's not weird.
I think flowers, they're too hard to look after when you've just had a baby. Yeah. I think you underestimate. I think a frozen homemade food, chuck it in the freezer and take the toddler or your child out, take them out. That is all you need to do.
And
that's
champagne. Yeah. And champagne. And
excellent. Champagne. Good.
Good work. So for all of Ellie's friends out there.
Yes, that's right.
Don't get it fucking wrong.
Yes. Flowers in a vase, champagne and a lasagna. And we're all still friends. Also, I don't want to see you or talk to you. No. Thank you very much. Looking forward to the days after birth already. Yeah. I'll be in the Wetherspoons. Excellent. Well, Helen, what have we done
with
that?
I think we've cracked that nut.
We've cracked that nut. That's her catchphrase, Clemmie. I don't know if she had that.
Oh, nice.
Does
that mean when we can move on?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's our next section, Helen?
Should we move to another one of my favourite subjects? Placenta art.
Yes, placenta art for short.
Hey,
let's talk placenta art, Helen. What is placenta art?
Well, Ellie, I'm glad you asked. I've been on the internet.
Uh-oh.
It only can mean one thing. Placenta teddies.
Oh, my God. Oh, filth. Why? So, I'm feeling ill already. Do you mean like lingerie or...
No. as in... There is an artist who, it says, and I quote from the internet, if you want to keep your dried placenta forever...
Why?
Let me finish. I've got a comma.
If you want to keep your dried placenta forever, there is something wrong with you. carry on.
Okay, so again, if you want to keep your dried placenta forever, why not have it fashioned into a teddy bear that can be kept in a glass jar?
Because that's mental!
So what... All right, hold the sick in. So...
My glasses have fallen off. That's how upset I am by what's happening
now. The waters have gone,
So what people have done they've stretched out the placenta and dried it.
God.
And then bent it and sewed it into a teddy and then backlit it with a light in a glass jar.
This is the first time I'd ever seen or heard of anything like this.
Right, so
if you've never heard of this, we're going to put the links on our website. God, which means I have to look at them.
Why would you do that?
Yeah. Now, the other one I was so fortunate to see was placenta skin booties.
No.
Made from recycled mixed media LEDs and the placenta I burst last year, eventually defrosted and made into a placenta rawhide.
Say that word again. She's been sick.
Yeah, she is.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so this is Alison Brearley, /placenta-art-placenta-skin.
We'll just put the link on the website.
Experimental adventures making beautiful things from placenta.
That's not a beautiful thing, is it? That's a weird, repulsive, unnecessary thing. That's a thing from a horror film.
So if you've got anything that's fallen out of your vagina that you'd like to put in a gallery, do get in touch at scummymummies.com.
Oh my god.
I don't know what to say.
Are you trying
not to judge, Clemmie? Are you trying to be cool?
She's being very Switzerland about this, but Ellie...
Her little face tells a different story.
We should have filmed that.
I will support a woman who wants to do whatever she wants to the placenta, because ultimately it is theirs.
What if she wants to rub it in your face and smoosh
it
up?
No, that's unhygienic. You know, I went to a birth the other day. It was very sort of 5 a.m. And then I went and met my friend for a really nice brunch, like, you know, kind of breakfast thing. And
no black pudding.
And I, you know, just said very casually, she's had 2 babies at home and I delivered them. So she's very aware of like my life and my weird kind of twilight hours I wear. And I was like, mid mouthful of a scramble, like, oh God, I mustn't forget the placenta still in the car. And I just said it and she just went, oh, Clemmie, you know, there's only you that I can have a brunch with and talk about something else. And you sort of mid mouthful talk about your placenta in the car. You just don't want to forget.
No,
your placenta belongs to you. So as a midwife, you can just do whatever you want with it. I don't care. You know, I've had women bury their placenta in a garden and...
Do people do that?
Yeah. Did you bury yours?
No.
Really?
I gave it in a bag.
What's the thinking behind that? What's your placenta full of? Loads and loads of nutrients and blood. Yeah? So it's really, really, really... Vanessa, my team leader, has said she's never seen sweet peas grow like it than her grandson's placenta. You know, it's kind of a natural manure, isn't it?
Yeah, I can sort of see. I can support that.
Burying whole meat is all right.
Making it into a toy is not.
I mean, I still find it slightly uncomfortable when people go, oh, I kept my pregnancy tests. I still think that's just pee on a stick. Or people keep the belly button cool.
Yeah, they do. I've seen that in a photo album, like next to the baby. And they've, you know, in the old school photo album, the little slot.
Yeah, the little slit.
Yeah, so the book doesn't quite close properly.
And you're like, oh, what's that crunchy bit of? Yeah. Oh, is that a bit of pork scratching? Yeah. No.
Ooh,
that's the main
one.
Booties, I mean, it's just
what's
not necessary.
Wrong with some lovely homemade knitted booties?
And it's not because it's from the vagina, it's not because it's a birth product even. It's like part of your human body. Mm. It's like me going, oh, I've made a wonderful collage using toenails and pubic hair.
It's lovely. It's really marvellous.
It's not.
Anyway, we're just putting it out there for those.
They're putting it out there. They're all putting it out.
They've put it on the internet.
But remember, we must always respect whatever women choose to do. We wouldn't judge how they raise their children. So we must always remember to be open-minded.
Other mothers never judge each other's choices.
That's right.
Never.
Absolutely. No.
Well, suit yourselves. I'm judging making footwear out of a placenta. That's for a child. That's what I'm judging that right here, right now.
Oh, now should we move to a lighter topic?
Please.
Let's move to a game, Ellie.
I am so looking forward to this game, Helen. I think it's one of the best games you've ever come up with.
Really?
Thank you. I thought it would be hilarious if Ellie and I played a game in which we mixed up film titles to include euphemisms for vaginas. Clemmie is going to try and guess.
Okay.
Should we do it like... So, for example, I'm going to do an example. This is easy. Clemmie, I'm thinking of a Fanny Wood film. It's about somebody's diary. She lived in England. It was in the papers and then became a film starring Renee Zellweger.
Yeah, I've got it.
Ooh. Yeah, it is.
Is it Bridget Jones's Fanny?
Yes.
That's not even a proper pun.
Anyway, that's a silly example because I don't want to give away the gold.
All right, I don't want to give away the gold.
Okay,
right?
I'm on it. Okay.
All right. Ellie, you go first because I've done a lot of talking.
An epic tale set during the American Civil War where the hero gets carried away with what's under the local plantation owner's crinoline. Have you got it, Helen? You can guess, Helen.
Okay. Is it Gone with the Minge?
Yeah!
That's one point for Helen.
Okay.
That's good.
This film was originally a very famous book, and then it came out starring Tom Hanks. It is...
Oh. I don't know.
Well, the Jumanji code.
Oh. I forget he was in that.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Often cited as the best film ever made, this movie tells the tale of a publishing tycoon obsessed with something called Rosebud.
I know, I know. And it stars Orson Welles.
Correct.
And it is Citizen.
Or.
Or Cuntizen.
No.
Mingerson.
Clitizen Kane.
Oh.
Good one, Ellie.
That's really
one to
good.
Ellie.
Thanks, gang. Oh. Thanks. I'm quite proud of this one. One evening a week, John Travolta goes down the local disco dressed as a giant minge.
Oh. It is Saturday Night Minger.
No,
come on.
Saturday Night Beaver.
This epic adventure was filmed in New Zealand, starring small cunts.
Oh, I know, I know.
Yeah.
Lord of the Minge.
Very good.
The Fellowship of the Minge.
Oh, the Return of the Minge. It works, it works.
It does. Excellent.
Okay, how about this one? Fred Astaire presents his favourite moments from MGM musicals, specially selected to appeal to idiots. Twat's Entertainment.
So what was it?
That's Entertainment.
Oh,
Robert De Niro stars in this thriller remake about a man who terrorises a family with the help of a speculum. Cape Smear!
Oh, that's
you're really good!
That's really good.
This one stars Arnold Schwarzenegger with his famous catchphrase, I'll be crack.
I don't know.
The Minginator.
Oh.
It's not real. Hasn't it got to begin with the same letter?
It's got to, like, at least onomatopoeically work. You can just put minge in anything. It's not a pun.
The Wizard of Cunts.
That isn't your next one.
A biopic of a flamboyant British military figure who spent World War I working in the Middle East in service of the Queen's genitalia.
It is.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh, that's the best one.
See, that's
better than the Cape Smear.
Yeah. All right. This film, based on the cartoon, stars four little creatures that are very good at martial arts.
Four little creatures. Is it teen? Oh, I got it.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So this is like a modern one. This is quite a recent film. I think it came out last year.
Mm-hmm.
War rages between humans and sea monsters. The only hope for victory is a special weapon in the shape of a huge twat. I think it's a Michael Bay film. Does that help you? Pacific Quim.
Oh,
you are too good at this.
I'm on fire.
You bastard. You bastard.
I think it's the fetus inside her.
So I'd just like to give a shout out to this one. Is from Tom Bramwell. An 80s buddy cop action movie starring Sylvester Stallone and Kurt Russell as a narcotics detective and a vagina. That's Tango and Gash. Thank you, Tom. Have you got any more for us, Helen?
This is a very popular one at Christmas time. A black and white film that people like, and it brings them together, and it's a lovely time.
Oh,
it's a Cunterful Life.
It's a Wonderful Minge.
I've got one more.
Okay.
It's another classic film.
We'll have to do a wee soon.
But I feel like, based on the classic Alexander Dumas novel, a member of the Italian aristocracy turns out to be a right arsehole.
No.
The Cunt of Monte Cristo.
See, I had one. I had other ones, but... okay.
No, go on.
Yeah, so I had Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Cunt. That was it, and 20,000 Minges Under the Sea.
I don't really know what to say. I feel like you misunderstood the rules of your own game.
Parifa Fanny word. Some were good-ish.
Oh, well, at the end of that game. I think there are no winners, I think. Helen wins at having the most cunt or minge jokes. Clemmy, all I can say is thank you for being a good sport. Oh, well, Helen, if ever there was a nut that was cracked, I think you've cracked it.
I think so. I think I'm in pieces, Ellie. The nut has been destroyed. Okay, so we've come to Scummy Mummy Confessions, haven't we, Ellie?
Hooray, hooray. We've got a listener confession this week from the lovely Honey Webb. Hello, Honey. In the summer, my three-year-old was busting for a poo in a local park that has no toilets. So in desperation, I got her to squat on an old Sainsbury's bag. Quick thinking, honey.
Very
well done.
Good.
Bear Grylls style survival skills. Yeah.
That's it.
Them. So we could get rid of it in the nearest dog poo bin. Unfortunately, she has taken to this idea with great enthusiasm. Now, any time we are out in a playground and she gets caught short, she refuses to leave in search of toilets, demanding instead, "Get me a bag, Mummy! I want to poo in a bag!"
Aww.
So sweet.
Oh, I love that.
I love that.
That's her daughter's catchphrase. I want to poo in a bag.
That's brilliant.
Oh, that's amazing.
And one day you will, little
yes.
girl. One day you will.
Why not? I can't remember if I've told this story before, but reminds me of a friend of mine who was a grown man who went to a festival and couldn't face the toilets, so just laid out a Sainsbury's carrier bag in his tent and just let it drop.
Backed out a bum cigar.
Yeah, yeah. And then unzip the tent at both ends to like air it out.
Oh. Practical. A bum cigar.
Backed out a bum cigar.
That's a great expression.
That's great.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that an Australian thing?
Yeah.
Vile.
That's another, you can, again, Clemmy, you can have that. Take that to your next time.
I love that.
Now, you're doing really well. Now, what I need you to do is back out that bum cigar. Come on now. Back it out. Push the baby like it's a bum cigar.
That's right.
Oh, it's been a lot of poo this week in my life. Yeah.
Oh, love.
Oh, Helen, have you got a Scummy Mummy confession for us?
Yes, I do. Last Friday night, I took my kids to the local fish and chip shop. And we were waiting to have our fish and chips. And I thought, oh, as a little treat, we'll have some lemonade. And the kids got a bit excited.
Aww.
And so I poured in some plastic cups. And my son, instead of putting it in his mouth, just tipped it on his trousers. So he, like, cried. But thankfully, his underpants didn't get wet. So we gave his wet lemonade-soaked trousers to the man behind the chippy. And he said, I'll just put it on the heater. Next to, like, the fryer.
Nice.
They came out nice and crispy.
Yeah.
And so Hugo sat in the front window of our local chippy in Honorope Park in his pants eating his chicken nuggets and chips. And he likes eating chicken nuggets and pants in public places.
Aww.
Well, it has been an absolute delight to have you back, Clemmy Hooper.
Yay. I'm a bit more sober this time, I think. We all are, aren't we?
Now, thank you, everyone, for listening again. This has been a fabulous episode. I'll just say that. That's great.
Yes. I love my own work.
Anyway, thank you for listening if you've got this far. Well done, you. Join us on Facebook. We're at Scummy Mummies Podcast. And we're on at the Twitter. At the Twitter?
It's all academic at this point.
Okay,
it?
So we're on Twitter at Scummy Mummies. Where are you on the Twitter?
I'm at Midwifey Hooper and gasandairblog.com. And also, are you Instagrammers?
No.
At Midwifey Hooper.
So thank you very much, Clemmy Hooper. You've been wonderful. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye. This one's really shit, but I'm going to do it anyway. Is that
go
okay?
On. Yeah. You have
this
done so
alien
far.
Film. This alien film starred a very young Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
Oh.
EF, the extra fanny. I thought that was funny.
Clearly.
She's still going, guys. Extraterrestrial. You could have done...
I could have done something more.
You could have done a joke. That's what I would have gone for there. But there's, you know.
Anyway.
Oh.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.